Good evening, friends. This is Carolyn Evers, and I have a very special friend with me. And you know who he is, don't you?
Someone I know?
Someone you know, dear.
Oh, good. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, Carolyn. This is Richard.
And aren't we delighted to be here with him tonight? We have a very special guest tonight. And you all know her. She was really the sweetheart here in the United States for a while, because our guest tonight is Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis. What do you think of that, Richard?
I think it's pretty cool.
I think it is too. And so with all that said, have you connected with her?
Yes, I have, as a matter of fact. She surprised me. She seemed to have been watching over my shoulder as I was checking her out on the internet earlier.
I love it. And so does she have a message for our listeners?
Well, she probably does, but let's check her energy first, as we usually
okay.
do.
Okay.
I find her energy to be very heart-centered, very central. It's very interesting. It's the overwhelming sense is of love and really not a lot else going on. Very pure, really. Very, I'm tempted to use the word simple, and yet that doesn't do it justice. There is this beauty about it, but the essence of it is love. I don't sense any kind of beguiling characters or sense of great overwhelming intellect, but this purity of love. It's very interesting. Quite strong. As I say, very central. I mean, I'm aware that she had a sort of complicated life in many ways, but there is this innocence, I would say, about her that comes across. Again, as I said, there's a temptation to use the word simplicity, but that doesn't quite get it. Purity is a better word. I'm surprised, actually, by her energy a little. I expected perhaps other things, but that's what's there.
That's wonderful. And I'm sure she's got a message for us.
I hope so. Either that or we've got a long, slow show here. Let's see what she has to say. I am honored to have been invited to come forth on this radio show. It is not something that I aspired to. In truth, I was aware of it because I have been aware of the work of these two for some time. But it never occurred to me that I would be invited to join this work, this show, as they call it, because I felt my life was not of what you might consider sufficient significance to justify joining the array of individuals that have been brought forth on this show. And I'm aware that I am invited because of my marriage to Jack, as I called him, JFK, as you mostly know him as, because it was my marriage to him that brought me into the limelight and made me something of a public figure. I sense, as I reflect upon it and reflect on what was written about me, a figure that was greatly loved within America. And I am honored for that publicity that applied during the time of John's presidency. And so I understand that it was that relationship that brought me into the public limelight, you might say. But clearly there were elements about me that drew people to me, that had people, in a sense, honor what I represented. And it is well written that Jack was not always faithful to me, but there was a great love that I had for him. And in so many ways, he was a wonderful husband and a wonderful father to our children. Our life together was not always simple. It was not well understood that Jack was not a well man and was suffering health issues, in part from injuries that he received during the war, and in fact had back operations in the early part of our marriage in 1954, I believe. And it was a process that he almost did not survive, but all of this was not well publicized, and intentionally so, because it would have been seen as a distraction from his political career. But he survived, and he dealt with his health issues relatively well in overall terms. And I cannot come forth in this manner and not speak of Jack and his presidency and how it ended. And as you, I believe, understand, there are powers behind the scenes that run American politics, indeed run America, and have done for a long time. And this is not well understood by the public and not searched out by the public in general to understand. And those same forces that had controlled American presidents, indeed the country on many levels, really, since the early part of the 20th century at the very least, these same forces had a hand in seeing Jack become the president of the United States. But Jack was a strong man, and he came to understand some of the things that were occurring within America and in relation to other countries as far as America was concerned. And Jack wanted to see peace in the world. And when he came to understand those forces and the strength of them and how they worked within America, he wanted to try and set America free. Now, many view what he did as being somewhat naive, and in hindsight I might make a similar assessment, but I understood his motivations. He felt so passionately about wanting to set America free, and he acknowledged those forces at work in some of his speeches, but he felt so strongly about it that he was willing to die for it if necessary. Of course, he did not expect that events would unfold as they did, or he might have taken more effort to protect himself than he did. But in any case, I doubt that it would have made much difference, because the forces that were arrayed against him were on so many levels. It is clear to me, and it has become clear to others, that he created many enemies by the changes that he wanted to make. His attempts to destroy the CIA, the dismissal of the man in charge of the CIA at the time, the moves to eliminate some of the oil incentives, the efforts he was making to essentially eliminate the control of America's money through the Federal Reserve and return the power of printing money to the Treasury. All of these things were greatly opposed by the powers in the world. And of course, as history has recorded, he was moving to shut down the war in Vietnam before it got started. And so there were many forces that were arrayed against him. And so in many ways, I came to see that his assassination was inevitable because so many wanted to sustain the status quo, from the most powerful financial people in the world through to those who represented their and other interests that were being threatened within the United States. And so he was assassinated. And as I say, in a sense, he was willing to take that risk because he wanted to try and reclaim America from those forces that controlled it. In the end, he failed. And I, of course, have been in contact with him since I, too, have crossed over. And indeed, we have, in a sense, renewed our relationship. And in many ways, he is satisfied that he would not have made other choices, but only perhaps made greater attempts to protect himself. And he also recognizes that perhaps that would not have been possible under any circumstances, given the forces that were, as I say, arrayed against him. And so I will confirm that the story that Lee Harvey Oswald was a lone gunman who assassinated him is simply untrue. Indeed, Oswald was a great supporter of Jack and indeed had made efforts to alert him to a prior attempt upon his life in Chicago. And this is not well understood by people. And Oswald understood that he was being set up, and he understood the likelihood of Jack's assassination in Dallas that day. And there were many involved with his assassination. The notion of a lone gunman is simply nonsense, a story that has been replicated many times in your world since that time, with many false flag events and false events. And so there were a series of very capable marksmen lined up to participate in Jack's execution, because it was an execution. And as has been documented in the Zapruder film, as it is known, if you can actually find the original version of this, which did exist and did survive, you will see the driver of the car actually execute Jack. It was not the only bullet that hit him. There were several, but it was the one that truly killed him. And I kept my silence because I too had understood the risk of what he was doing. I was well aware of the path that he was walking. And I knew that if I did not keep my silence, my children would be at risk and I would be at risk and other members of the family would be at risk. And all of these events I did not wish to see occur. And so, as you know, during my time of Jack's presidency and even before, whilst I may have been in the public spotlight, I kept my own counsel. I did not interfere in a public way with the path that Jack was walking. And I continued to sustain that silence beyond his death for additional reasons. Firstly, I felt it was not my place to comment upon these things because I was simply Jack's wife and was not elected, and so the public were not looking to me for those kinds of contributions. But also, as I say, I subsequently kept my counsel, knowing what I knew, because I wanted to protect my family. Of course, as you know, my son was in the end executed. His plane crash was no accident. Those powers that be in your world began to understand that Jack Jr. carried the same magnetism, if you will, of his father, and was shaping to move into politics and also be a great leader. And he knew far too much and was not one to be bought, perhaps even more so than his father. And so that opportunity was taken from him. But that is how, unfortunately, the United States works and has done for a long time. Of course, there were other presidents who've been assassinated, and if you examine history closely, you will find that, I believe without exception, these have been associated with the influence and control of the money power in your world that has been responsible for those deaths, including Lincoln and others. So, in a sense, Jack's death was also linked to those, but there were other more, you might say, direct interests that were willing to do the dirty work. And so all of that is history. I simply wanted to present a little of that picture to you to confirm what many others have already recognized and reported. In fact, for those who are interested in this, there is a great deal that has been written by many people who were in a place to see parts of this puzzle and to understand what actually occurred. And it is well documented, but of course is not publicized in any manner in the mainstream media, which is owned by those same forces that were opposed to Jack during his presidency. Of course, it was the same forces that executed Jack's brother Robert in the end. And it is a sad state of affairs in terms of how the world works. And so, as you know, I continued on with my life. My primary focus initially after Jack's assassination was the protection of my children and the raising of them in the best way I was able for the first few years. As is well documented, I married Aristotle Onassis, and part of this was for financial reasons, and frankly, the man was very charming, though I did not fully understand all of the pieces of that very complex man when I made the decision to accept his proposal. And so some people will look at my life as being a sad life, but I was not sad. It was certainly a challenging life, and really the challenges in my life began with the difficulties with my parents, who divorced when I was in my early years, and my father was a womanizer, and so in a sense Jack's interests in that direction were easier for me to handle because of this. But I loved my father dearly, and even though his life would be judged by many as a failure, his side of the family was a very strong influence on me, as was my mother. And so I was torn when their marriage failed. And so in a sense, it steeled me for my journey through life. And those who knew me well knew that I always could find the entertaining part, the humor in life, the fun in life. I knew how to find this, and I also knew how to connect with people and have them share of themselves. And I always enjoyed that aspect of life, and I continued to do so. I always had a great belief in the simple goodness of people. Even though I had challenges in my life, those elements were always important to me. And so I feel that I rose above the challenges of my life to the best of my ability and honored those people that I cared about in my life to the best of my ability. And so I do not look at my life with any kind of regret, but rather lived it to the best of my ability and with a fullness that truly is not visible to many people. Yes, there were those who judged me as being naive, and certainly when I was young, there was that trusting aspect to me, and perhaps it continued throughout my life. But frankly, I have no regrets about giving people the benefit of the doubt whenever possible, to be trusting rather than doubting. And yes, there are people who failed me in that regard, and I would be a little more circumspect around them, but I never took that as being a reason to be circumspect around everybody as a result. I gave people the benefit of the doubt, and I have a great belief in the goodness in what it means to be human. And so I lived my life according to those parameters, and frankly, in overall terms, I feel that I was very blessed in my life. I lived in many ways a protected existence, even though many would judge it to have been somewhat tragic. But truly, in so many ways, I was protected, and I am grateful for the life that I was able to live.
Thank you so much. We'd like to open this up to questions. Are there some people who have some questions of our guest?
They'll probably call in, Carolyn. Do you have some?
No, I don't.
You don't have any questions for her?
Oh, do I have questions? I thought you meant do the people listening have questions.
Yes, my question is, do you have some questions while we're waiting?
Do I have? Yes. Yeah. I think one of the questions that I have is, I feel that she was an example to the women in the United States. And as such, would she have some words of advice to give the women of the United States?
Life for women in many ways has been, I would say, dragged off track. When I was growing up, although I grew up in a fairly protected environment, an environment that did not lack for anything in a financial sense, the Carolyn, all the things you're doing there are making a lot of noise in the microphone. It's very sensitive.
I'm sorry.
If you can just be still, that would help greatly. Thank you.
I am.
And so in the time that I was growing up, there was the opportunity for most women to simply be mothers, to be able to raise their children, even though many people lacked for a great deal of wealth in their lives, people were not distracted by all of the desire for possessions that you see today. In fact, they were far more comfortable in that simplicity than people are today. And so today it is very difficult for women to choose to be a full-time mother to their children whilst those children are young. And this is no accident. It has been something that has been engineered by those who direct and control your world for many reasons. And my strong advice to women is to remember that you are a woman, that you have a primary responsibility if you are in a marriage to your partner, and you have a primary responsibility to your children. Choosing to be a mother is perhaps one of the most important and, in my opinion, most satisfying things that you can do. And although it is very difficult, if you can find a way with your partner to be able to be at home with your children for a period of time whilst they are young, to be there for them and to foster them and nurture them and to feed them, dear ones, with your breasts that were designed for that purpose. Avoid these false mechanisms that have been introduced into your world as part of the mechanism to break the bond that forms between a mother and child. It is so, so important and forms such an important contribution to your children. And so I say to you, be those things that you are born to be first, and hold your counsel. Learn how to be strong and independent as well as the things that I have spoken about. Be at peace in the world and try to be an example in your own world, whatever form that takes. Find the strength that is within you. No woman is a mother without finding great strength to be that. It is part of who and what you are. So many women lose sight of this, and so many women are caught up in having careers. I'm not saying don't have a career. I'm saying that it's so important that you nurture your children if you choose to be a mother. Take the time to do that if you can find a way. These are perhaps the things that I would speak most strongly about because they are being so intentionally destroyed in your world. They are almost lost. So few women spend time with their children beyond the first month or two and then find care for them as they make their way back to work. I encourage you to spend more time with your beautiful babies. It is such an important time, both for them and for you. It is such an affirmation as a woman to fulfill that role as a mother. They are perhaps my most strident words to you.
Such beautiful advice. Thank you. Now, moving in another direction, since you are on the other side, I'm sure you're watching what's happening here in the United States and perhaps even in the world. What do you see as some of the problems that we're going to have to face in the near future?
The world as it exists suffers from a great many disruptions, a great many forces. I did not fully understand these things in my lifetime, though of course I saw some of them through my marriage with Jack and his role in the world. But even through that, I did not fully understand the degree of control of the powers that run your world. And by this, I'm talking particularly about the major Jewish bankers, the Rothschilds and their cohorts that really control the world today and have done for a very long time. And so wars occur because wars serve their interest. And this was true with the First World War, the Second World War. Indeed, the American Civil War was triggered by those interests, in a sense, to try and bring Abraham Lincoln back into the fold. He was warned, and he refused to buckle, and so they triggered a war against him. It is painted as a war over slavery, but that, like so much of history, is just a story that has been told to people about how things were. It really was not about that at all. And so I would say to you that those forces are becoming more powerful. They really direct in large measure what goes on in your world, and at this time there are many forces at work that are really destroying the world as you know it, life as it has been lived. This period of abundance, you might consider, that has been in the world really since the end of the Second World War through to perhaps 25 years ago, that period of abundance in the world has been curtailed and is continuing to be curtailed. And so, short of a major shift that is not from within their control system, the future for humanity is, in my opinion, very dark indeed. They have plans for another major war in the world. If you are watching closely the financial situation in your world, you will know that it is very dire. And those who understand it cannot truly understand why the Federal Reserve moved to increase interest rates last week when the world is so dire from a financial perspective. And it is believed by many that this, in fact, is acting to exacerbate the failure of the global financial system. So it is my opinion that in the current world as it is, you might say, life is likely to get far more complex and difficult. There are some rays of hope on the horizon, but those are very small at this time. I am optimistic that there will be positive changes come into your world, but at this moment they are very second order compared with the forces that are currently arrayed. And I, in a sense, despair for the future of the world, short of some of those elements being able to be given life.
Yes, that does sound dire. So, in your opinion, what would be the best way for people in the world, and especially Americans, to prepare for this?
The best thing I can advise to everybody is to try and reduce your financial risk, to try and ensure that your situation, your personal situation, your family situation is secure as possible, that you have reserves of money, if you can, reserves of food, reserves of the basics of life, because there is a reasonable chance that there could be major disruptions within your world. For example, if there was a major disruption of the American electricity grid, the way the world works today is that people would start to run out of food in the major cities very, very quickly indeed, because it is brought in, trucked in every day. And so if you lose power, you lose the ability for the gas stations to provide gas and diesel for vehicles. And people don't think about these things. And so transport will become an issue very quickly. And the ability to deliver food, the ability to get money, because so much of the financial system is electronic in nature. The supermarkets rely upon electronic cash registers and so on. The whole system will rapidly fall apart. And there is a strong chance that such a disruption could occur. And so I encourage you to think about how you can protect yourself and your family as much as possible in the face of such interruption. I'm not saying it will happen necessarily, but the risk is not insignificant as I look at the future. And so I encourage you to, as I say, protect yourselves as much as possible. It is difficult for those that are in debt, for example, to get out of debt quickly in most cases. But if you are able to move to reduce your exposure, for example, if you have money in a stock market or a fund that is connected with the stock markets, I encourage you to convert that to cash, for example, in the first step, and maybe into other things like silver and gold coins, silver in particular, and so on. So you have some flexibility. Again, the truth of the matter is for most of the people in the world, they are living on credit. They have significant borrowings. That is how people have been encouraged to live. And so they are dependent upon this system. And if it breaks, the disruptions in the world will be very great indeed. And so I encourage you as much as possible to gather your reserves, you might say, in whatever way you are able to.
And of course, along with that, to eliminate all debt that you might be involved with today.
Yes.
Thank you. Christine, do you have a question for our guest?
Well, I did, but I wanted to say hello to you and Carolyn and Jackie, because I met her twice. I met her once when I was a little girl in New York City, and she helped me and my friend get to Carnegie Hall for a dress rehearsal. And then I met her again when I was in high school, and she was running for support of a candidate for presidency, and she remembered me, and that's how I know that she is such an amazing, phenomenal person. So I just wanted to say hello to her, and I think it's amazing that I can touch bases with her in this way. So I don't know if this question is something that she might be answering, because the way that everything is going, I wanted to know if she can speak about the feminine light that is supposed to be coming to this planet to balance out the overbearing masculine energy.
Richard, do you understand this question?
Yes, I do. There are many threads of potential change coming to your world. And one of these is a potential shift in consciousness, which I believe is a very likely scenario. And as part of that shift, there is included within this a rebalancing of the forces, you might say, from a male and female perspective. If you understand the forces of the dark, they are very much driven from a male perspective and, in a sense, are focused upon destroying the divine feminine and have been for a long period of time. Of course, as you would understand, creation requires both the feminine and masculine principles. And so it is a bizarre notion. And extending this further, the dark attacks the light, and yet the dark is dependent upon the light for its existence. And so, in a way, it is a bizarre scenario. And so, should all of that unfold, then part of this will be this infusion, you might say, of the divine feminine into the world and a rebalancing of things, a reclaiming of what it means to be feminine. Part of the issue for women in your world today, as I said, is they have lost that sense of what it truly means to be feminine, and this is why I spoke about the things that I spoke about. In truth, women have been persuaded to act in a more masculine world, to operate in, you might say, a man's world and adopt more masculine practices. in so many ways at the expense of their femininity. And this is a sad thing as I see it. And I am hopeful that those changes that will see that more feminine principle become more balanced within the world. In the same manner, men have lost the sense of their true selves as well. They have been emasculated by what has occurred in this world. So in so many ways, both men and women have lost that true sense of who and what they represent as men and women. And so as the balance for the feminine returns, so it actually opens the opportunity for the balance for the masculine to be similarly returned and reclaimed.
Beautiful thoughts. Thank you. As we look in the political world, it doesn't seem like there is anyone running for office today that we might want to vote for. How do we handle that, not vote at all?
I would say to you that the election of American presidents has been controlled by the powers behind the scene for, as I said earlier, at least since the early part of the 20th century, and there were clear examples before that time. And so Americans are encouraged to choose one of the candidates when really all of the candidates are controlled and directed in the end by the forces behind the scenes, and no one is elected that has not been anointed and chosen and, you might say, placed under the control system that operates within the world. No one is allowed to, having, you might say, sold their soul to the powers that be in your world. And so really the discussion about who to vote for is a fairly meaningless concept. I would encourage you to stay out of the conversation, to not join the debate about all of this. I mentioned earlier that Jack was in fact endorsed and elected by those forces, though they were not as brazen and controlling back then as they are now, though they were very strong back then. And the issue for Jack was that he decided to oppose them. He decided that he wanted to try and reclaim America from their power. And so they were alive and well even back in our time. So I must say I despair of the political process, knowing what I now know about it, both during my life and since. And so it is just a piece of pageantry, like so many other pieces of pageantry in your world, to distract people from what's truly going on, which is the complete control of humanity, the planned elimination of much of humanity, and the total enslavement of humanity for the benefit of a few who actually run and control the world.
Thank you. I'd like to talk a little bit about medical breakthroughs on the horizon. Do you see some things coming forth that would help people heal and help them move past the different diseases?
There are many threads to this question. The first one is that health and healing, for the most part in the Western world, is defined according to the interests of the Western medical system or the allopathic medical system, which, for those of you who have studied history, was created by John D. Rockefeller to seek to make more use of the oil that he was producing, and this was the origin of pharmaceuticals. And so, in fact, he created the Western medical system to utilize pharmaceuticals at the expense of a huge body of global knowledge about health and healing and natural solutions to health that existed for thousands of years from the plants and so on that exist in the world. And so this knowledge is being intentionally undermined in your world by the pharmaceutical industry. In truth, this knowledge is being gradually reclaimed by those who understand what is going on, and in many ways there is a far greater understanding and indeed availability of these natural solutions to healing than has been so for several decades. And so that is an encouraging sign. In addition, there is a growing understanding of how the pharmaceutical industry has interfered with the physical body and its natural healing processes. And some of those understandings are bringing forth cures to the inflictions that are being perpetrated by the allopathic medical system. I'm not saying that the intention of doctors in large measure and nurses and others inside the system is necessarily poorly directed. Rather, they are doing the best inside a system that they don't understand, and they don't understand its purpose. And so, for example, there are answers to cancer which have been well understood that are destroyed by the mainstream system. Similarly, the whole process of vaccination is in large measure a lie. I'm not saying there is not value in some vaccinations, but it is minor in the scheme of things. Rather, the focus of vaccination is to destroy the body's immune system and indeed to destroy the functioning of the brain in many cases. So the state of affairs for health in your world is rather dire at this point. But I'm encouraged, as I say, by the reemergence of the understanding of some of the natural healing processes, the value in returning to a healthy diet free of the processed foods that are such a part of your world today, and avoidance of GMO and its horrific impact upon human health. And also there are some changes on the horizon that I am aware of that will potentially, if they are given the opportunity, return the opportunity to people to heal themselves in ways that the world does not understand today. And so I am optimistic that these changes for human health will emerge quite rapidly and, in a sense, free so many people from the bondage that is imposed by this Western medical system.
Thank you so much for your clear answer. We have a caller, Christine from Massachusetts, on line one.
No, that's the one we've already had, Carolyn.
Sorry. Well, we don't have someone on the line right now waiting to ask a question.
That's true.
Richard, do you have a question for our guest?
I guess the question that would be there for me is, what does she see as the likely prognosis for the next 5 to 10 years in our world? How does she see things unfolding?
Good question.
It is an interesting question that you ask because there are so many threads at work in your world. I have mentioned some of the destructive ones. I have also mentioned the potential shift in consciousness that I am aware is being worked upon. And I am also aware that there are understandings emerging about how creation truly works and the power of the, you might say, background to creation that can, in a sense, if it is allowed to roll out into the world, transform the nature of how people interact with each other, sweep away the military equipment and the desire to fight wars, and in its own way significantly contribute to a change in how your world works. There are many forces arrayed against this, but it is a growing understanding, and if it is allowed to be given full voice, you might say, in the world, then a great deal will change for the better, including the cleaning up of pollution in your world and the, frankly, the elimination of the desires to destroy the world and the desires to control humanity. And those things in themselves, even in a sense within the existing consciousness, will represent a great deal of positive change. And so they run counter to my fears and concerns about what might unfold in the world. Part of that provides a ready availability of electricity and other things to individual households and individuals in life, and in a sense set them free from so much of what is an enslavement, if that technology has the opportunity to spread in the world. So there are many things that are unfolding that I am optimistic about. And so we are seeing this crescendo of sorts arising in the world, the dark doing their very best to corral and control everything. And opposing this are some very powerful changes which I am optimistic will come forth in the world to, with time, set the world free.
Thank you. Are you and Jack working behind the scenes, so to speak, presently to help free the world of these negative Thank you. Lou, do you have a question?
Hi, yes, thank you. I wanted to ask that from the research and reading that I've been doing, it seems like for those who are on the planet who are somewhat called hybrids, so not fully human souls, their position is that humanity allowed this to happen to itself. And I disagree with that. Because, you know, we're not aware that there's been this commerce law imposed on us versus equity law, so that by virtue of being a corporation, we've basically sold ourselves to these masters and controllers. So I just wanted to have her perspective on that type of opinion, that humanity actually allowed this to happen.
Richard, do you have a comment on this first?
Let's see what Jackie has to say.
All right.
The discussion along the lines that you have outlined is a discussion within the context of the existing consciousness. And the discussion does not acknowledge the broader picture of the actions of the light and the dark within creation and within your world. It is now well established that there was advanced civilization on your planet prior to some 12,000 years ago. And that advanced civilization was a very high civilization in many ways, but it was penetrated by what you might consider the dark and led off track. And so there was what is known as the fall that occurred, where you might say consciousness fell upon the planet and the functionality of the human being fell also. And so we've had this period of some 13,000 years where humanity, in a sense, has been exposed in its limited form, that is, the limited human form, to the broader powers that are able to manipulate and control them. So to say that humanity has allowed this is to misunderstand the totality of the journey of the light and the dark. And so I would say to you that those who make that argument do not understand the broader picture, but rather what they are looking at is the outcome of the dark being given sway over humanity through this period of some 13,000 years. And if events unfold, you will see all of this brought to an end.
Thank you. Richard, you probably have an opinion on this, don't you?
Yeah, in my view, in my understanding at least, this time, this 13,000 year period, in a sense, was set up as a trap for the dark, to draw them in to believe they could control humanity, and then only to have that power taken from them, just as they believed they were being successful. The Earth experience was set up as a trap for the dark, to draw them in and for the human experience to act as the trigger for the final clearing of the dark from all creation. Is that true? I can't say for sure. What I can say is that my own experiences, the work that I've done with Carolyn over the last few years, is consistent with such an idea, and it's where my understanding has come from that. Those experiences, the work that we have done to deal with the dark within creation.
Thank you, Richard. We have 1 minute. Is there something that you might wish to say to close up the show?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Jackie, and thank you, Carolyn, and thank you to those who called in, and of course those who were listening live and listened to the recording. I thank all of you for your contributions in your own various ways to tonight's show. Until next time, my friends, good night for now.
Good night for now. Blessings to all.